Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Hardline, 590 The Fan, KFNS and 590thefan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe with Jonathan Edgar Hadley and Matthew Rocchio. We have decided it will not be a silent rock day as we dive into the fun that is Game of Thrones, that is the NBA playoffs. We touched on that a bit yesterday. Actually, I think we gave Rock 3 minutes. And we interrupted him mid-sentence because everybody left. Our ratings went down to zero.
Momentarily, I didn't do great in those 3 minutes.
Came right back up as soon as we came back and started telling penis jokes, though. So here we are.
Wasn't a great 3 minutes. I'll admit that right now. I've given better 3 minutes, though. I bet you disagree too.
Well, he didn't, though.
No, he was satisfied.
Those were darn good 3 minutes. Not for me, though. They were average. So anyway, we're going to do this. We're going to start out with some NBA playoffs. And, Rock, here's the deal. I contend that the NBA playoffs are the most boring of all the playoffs until you get to the finals, and then they're as good as any of the playoffs. But the first round is pretty spectacularly terrible, almost always. Second round is better, but still pretty spectacularly terrible. And then I love the finals. Finals, I will watch every game on both the Eastern and Western
Conference. Yeah, the conference finals are just – that's when the NBA playoffs. You're correct. I mean, I can't disagree. I mean, I think this is probably the best year for probably first and second round matchups, depending on how it breaks down, that we've had in a long time. But
I do like the Utah series, actually. That's the one I'm looking forward to.
See, I'm not giving the Jazz much of a chance on the Rockets. Mm. I think the Rockets are just going to breeze by them.
We're going to see if the James Harden parade continues into the playoffs. He's been spectacular. And I don't – look, I'm certainly not in the camp of the people that will say this James Harden – you had one announcer, I forgot who it was, said he's cheating the system. How can you cheat the system? You're scoring 30 points every game. However, I'm not sure that translates to the playoffs, where they actually do similar to hockey, not nearly the same level, obviously, but they allow for a much more physical game in the playoffs. So is that going to work? They're not going to call any more travels, but if you can knock James Harden off his base a little bit, is he going to be able to knock him down at the same rate? That step back three is pretty deadly, but if you can stay up in his grill, it definitely gets more difficult. It's going to come down to, not to just cut off the rest, because I do want you to go a little bit series by series and we'll ask you some individual questions, Rock, but it's still going to come down to the same thing. The Rockets are going to try to give the Warriors a run for their money here. I don't believe in the Nuggets at all. And then whoever the Warriors end up playing in the finals have no chance unless Jason Tatum figures out how to play basketball again.
Well, before we get ahead of ourselves, if I'm not mistaken, Rock, Golden State and Houston would play one another in the conference semifinals, correct?
I think that's right. Houston is the four seed.
Yes, that is correct. Because that's the second round series everyone's already talking about.
You see, that's the one I'm sort of debating is this whole notion from TJ that the second round brings nothing. You could have Houston, Golden State. You could have terrific storylines, if it happens, with San Antonio and Oklahoma City, which is not impossible. You could have Milwaukee against Boston, and you could have the Sixers and Toronto. I think that's a pretty sweet second round.
It may be a little different this year. That was my general premise about the NBA.
Like I said, you're correct in most years, but I'm saying this is the one, like John says, that's kind of breaking the edge, and it's going to be fun in the second round. And even some other ones, because I personally think that the Nuggets are going to do pretty well in the playoffs. But even so, them and the Thunder, I mean, that's a pretty good matchup.
Would you be that surprised if the Spurs pulled it off, though?
No. A combination of two things. One, the Nuggets have almost no playoff experience in a very young team that doesn't have a conventional superstar. And then the Spurs are a methodical team that just gets stuff done. And if anyone knows how to win in the playoffs, it's Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs.
The Celtics sitting at a four seed there would have to run into Milwaukee in round two, I think, as John just stated. The Celtics are still probably top to bottom if everybody's legitimately playing the most talented team in the East. Your issue is Jason Tatum has really fallen. I mean, he was at the top of his game in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. He started out this year a little better, has fallen off. He's not been nearly as good. Kyrie comes out every day, and it seems like he's an inch closer to playing for the Knicks with Kevin Durant next year. He has been off. And then, you know, the Celtics have not been the same team. Obviously, when you get as hot as they were last season, it's going to look a little bit different. But they did that without Kyrie, and you thought, look, you add Kyrie back. At the very least, you have the single best isolator in the entire game, and it just hasn't worked. So I don't see him getting past Milwaukee. The issue is I don't think Milwaukee touches anybody. I think there are three teams in the West that would rip Milwaukee.
And you can't underestimate the loss of Marcus Smart going to the playoffs. I mean, yep. he's the best. He's their best defender. He really has
the biggest instigator too.
Biggest instigator. He really has over the last year become the glue guy on that team outside of Al Horford. Mm-hmm. And the Pacers, despite losing Victor Oladipo, and obviously they did fall down a little bit, they didn't bottom out despite losing their best player. Miles Turner is a wall in the middle. They're a defensive monster. They're not going to make this easy. And with the way the Celtics have stuttered on offense all season, this is going to be knockdown, dragout seven games, I think.
Mm-hmm. I will say this much. It's sort of like we were talking earlier in the week with Virginia missing Hunter in the tournament last year. There are times that you can't hide. There are times that you're going to be exposed. And I think this is the time, whether it's in round one or round two, that the Pacers are exposed, because you give them all the credit in the world for continuing to play without the difference maker. But if Oladipo is playing today, the Pacers have to be considered a legitimate Eastern Conference contender.
Yeah, and they wouldn't
to get to the finals.
And they wouldn't be a five seed either.
Right.
And now I don't think most casual basketball fans can even name who their leading scorer is.
Well, and the interesting aspect of that is I could see the Pacers winning because, again, they play as a team. They're fundamentally sound. We've talked so much about the Toronto-Boston hockey series and how Toronto, man for man, can match up with most, if not any team in the league when it comes to, say, the top three lines with any team in the league. The Boston Bruins, as you noted, when healthy, man for man, on paper, can match up with almost anyone and just be a sniffle behind Golden State. But like the Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston has not found its team game this year for any length of time. So Boston's one of those teams that, you know, I said I wouldn't be surprised to see Toronto win that series in seven games and make a run towards the Stanley Cup, or to see Toronto just get utterly destroyed by the Bruins. Same thing with the Celtics. I can see the Celtics getting healthier, but having players join the fray throughout the course of the playoffs that could make a difference, and see the Celtics make a run, or I would not be surprised to see them losing round one to Indiana.
I think that's totally fair. Indiana plays the type of ball that is consistent enough. Obviously, it hurts not having Horford, but that if you have an erratic team like the Celtics who struggle to score, who struggle to really play a team game, at any point in time, Kyrie can just take the ball and run away. And if he's off while he's doing that, the Pacers are consistent enough to take over and win the series. I fully agree with you on that. The Sixers are intriguing because of all the talent.
But again, injuries.
And Ben Simmons has done, he has not taken the step forward that you would expect.
And I'll tell you what, Rock watches a lot of NBA. At times you just sit back and appreciate the Nets. And other times you think to yourself, where's the effort? Where's the effort?
They're young. I think that's going to vacillate. But again, I mentioned it yesterday. Anything right now for the Nets is positive, because you thought this franchise was dead in the water.
They're fun to
for
watch
a while there, but
at
now
the
they
very
got,
least.
Yeah, and if Caris LeVert would have been able to come back from that foot injury, it'd be completely different. But D'Angelo Russell, Jared Allen, Joe Harris, I mean, it's a fun young team that, again, isn't going to go far in the playoffs, but it's nice when a franchise like the Nets isn't dead in the water anymore.
Can we stop just for a moment here? By the way, how about, this is why I'm going to this, D'Angelo Russell taking off the way he has post-Laker days. That's very Laker of it. We have not discussed this, and I think we should. We didn't have a chance to this week. Magic Johnson stepping down as the president is a direct result of thinking, I didn't realize when we recruited LeBron that we were recruiting a franchise. Like, I'm the president, and I recruited a president. Why did I do that? And, fellas, This is still unlikely. I wouldn't put money down on it. But I do think there is a legit possibility that if Jeannie Buss wants to, LeBron is on the trade block. Because the Lakers are not the type of organization to just hand it over to somebody else. Now, maybe they do. Maybe that's all changed or whatever. They have had their homegrown people. Kobe ran forever, but he was, you know, after it came over nearly immediately, and he was the Lakers. LeBron is never going to be known as a Laker. He can win a title there, and he's always going to be known as a Cavalier. Even his Miami days are seen kind of, as he put it, like his college days. He's a Cavalier. That's who he is. I'm not so sure they just hand it over to him, and it sure seems like he's trying to drive the car here. I wouldn't be surprised if they're inquiring on best offers this offseason.
Interesting. I will say this much. As much admiration as I have for LeBron James as a player, he has become, well, he's left two franchises in total three times. The city ablaze.
Mm-hmm.
The franchise ablaze.
And his best friend, Dwayne Wade.
And now you're in L.A. and you've basically got guys saying, I don't want to play with you. The problem becomes, if LeBron stays with the Lakers, they have to do an awful lot to change the whole image. Not necessarily with you or I, but for players. Change the whole image of the franchise, or they're in serious trouble.
You mentioned the Athletics hockey survey. They did a basketball one recently, and this basketball one was a direct shot at LeBron James. So you actually go through, I believe the, I had him from here. You are. Who's the best player of all time? And this is voted on by, I think it was 117, 100-something players. 73% said Michael Jordan. That, you can say, okay, well, that's a small sample size of all the players and, you know, snapshot in time. MJ's MJ, okay. Here's where the shot comes in. LeBron James, 11.9%. He did come in second. Kobe Bryant, who in the vast majority of everybody's minds 2 years ago was a distant third, not even in the real conversation. 10.6%. You beat him by less than a percent and a half. That is exactly what you're talking about. That points to the players' thoughts of LeBron, and it's not on the floor. It's off the floor thing. I don't want to play with him. The guy's selfish. He's become incredibly selfish as time passes by.
If you remember a conversation that we had a couple months ago where you were vehemently opposed to my theory that the Lakers may have made a mistake because I was of the belief that LeBron James went out there to build his future brand, that L.A. was just a destination for him to eventually
Rock, why does he always say I'm opposed to things that I agree with him on?
No. You were
no, that never happened. I said, you're exactly right. This is the legacy move. That was my words.
You know, it was just like you picked the Jaguars, won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. I mean, can't dispute that.
No, I mean, this is a serious issue because we've seen in the past LeBron James is good in the NBA. Rock Hawk, Jayhawk, in the NBA.
Whoa, whoa.
What?
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
Sorry, I blacked out. What happened?
Excuse you? Sir.
In the NBA.
Sir, resign. Sir, resign, sir.
Despite the notion that one guy can carry you to a championship, it's really not true. Especially in today's game.
The last time, and you still can't, this isn't a good argument. But the last time this was even remotely true was 2011, Dirk Nowitzki. And he still had Jason Terry on that team, right. And there was enough
supplement.
And
every one of those bench players had to hit an annoying amount of open threes. Deshaun Stevenson felt like he couldn't miss
from
three.
But he was the only true star.
Undoubtedly. But to John's point, and if you look at this Lakers team, they screwed up the supporting cast. They screwed up the bench and didn't get the right players need to get to be a winning
team.
That's because
LeBron has to have shooters, and they brought in Rondo.
And Lance Stevenson.
Right.
Again, and the best shooter they brought in was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who by game 25 in the season, LeBron didn't want on the court at the same time.
They could have got Kyle Korver.
Might have had something to do with the fact he had to get out of jail to play. But
they could have got Kyle Korver, but he was too busy writing about his white privilege in the Players Tribune. Nobody knows what he's doing now.
But how intriguing is it that this time last year, we're talking about the Lakers on the verge of rejoining or revitalizing a dynasty and this, that, and the other thing. And now the conversation is, did they make a massive, massive mistake?
And year over year, I know LeBron was injured for a bit in here, so it's not perfect, but year over year, getting LeBron and doing everything he told you to do netted them two wins from 35 to 37. They allow, I think, 6 or 7 more points per game because LeBron refuses to play defense. And there are embarrassing, unbelievably terrible clips of LeBron refusing to even put his hand up to a guy 3 feet away. I mean, he has been spectacularly lazy this season. And the worst thing was that he let everybody know, because he walks around and tells everybody what to do around there, that he would like to trade his whole team. And then when it didn't work, he now is stuck there with that same group of guys, having told them, you're really worth nothing to me.
As much as I enjoy the NBA, and I'm sure Rock feels the same way.
Rock, do you feel the same way?
As much as I enjoy the NBA, I'll tell you what, the NBA took bullets this year. I'll be interested to see in the end how it all turns out. But when you have the Knicks, Bulls, and Lakers missing the playoffs again,
yeah,
you have the marquee player in the league. And as far as I'm concerned, the kid with the stupid name. I mean, unless you want
Meta World Peace.
Unless you want to limit your name to 10 letters, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. But
the Greek freak.
Don't come after them. Don't come
Greek
after,
freak is exactly 10 letters.
Do not come after my king like that.
So I don't think there's any question that he's as good as any player, if not the best player in the NBA right now.
In fact, the Athletic did a survey on that, too, and he was number one on who you'd start with.
Unless they go on a spectacular playoff run, he will remain underappreciated while a guy like LeBron James. Now you're losing the Nowitzkis, you're losing the Wades, you've already lost the San Antonio version that was intriguing,
That's right. No, I think that's a really good point.
And the other thing, too, is it sort of goes back to Kevin Durant, if you will, in a serious sense. Because Durant was one of those guys that took a lot of banging for going to Golden State. I wonder now, would LeBron have been better off going to Boston, going to Philly?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think everybody would have been better off if LeBron stayed in the East and KD had stayed with the Thunder. Now you have more legit storylines, right? It's like you just pointed out all the storylines that are going away. So now you have Golden State. Next year, your storylines look like this. Kyrie and KD, and there are a lot of people around, like NBA analysts and such, that swear and typically have legit sources. They're telling that's a done deal. They're going to be in New York next year, KD and Kyrie. The other thing that's up in the air is who's going to want to play with LeBron? Well, the consensus here that's not going to help anybody is probably Jimmy Butler if they pay him enough money, because Jimmy Butler is all about Jimmy buckets and whatever, but he's about Jimmy money. That's his deal. So it doesn't matter how much he likes LeBron. And look, AD still has a year under contract in New Orleans. So they either keep him next year just as an FU to LeBron or guarantee you they take less from another team. That's the most likely scenario. They're not trading him to the Lakers. So maybe AD goes there in 2 years, but then you've got to open up another max slot with LeBron, who you already have signed, Jimmy Butler's on a max deal, and an AD, which makes your bench absolutely nothing. They're in a really peculiar spot, and all this talk about DeMarcus Cousins, and maybe he'll go to the Lakers. Why? Why would that be useful? That doesn't work with LeBron. You need LeBron James and four dudes that can shoot it from 35 feet. That's what you need.
I'll tell you what. There's a lot of... All I know is I want to see...
Dead. You want to see Searcy dead?
No, because then that just sort of eliminates half the intrigue of the... Searcy can't die until the
end. She's the most likely to die first of the Lannisters, certainly, and up there in the odds for the start.
Rock, how the hell can Jaime Lannister be taking off on his own, heading north, and not be more likely to die before his sisters... sitting at the house.
Yeah. because the Valancourt prophecy tells you that Jaime's going to be the one who kills Cersei. So therefore, just by, you know, how murdering people works, if you're not already a white, I guess Jamie murders him when he's undead. That could be a completely
That would be crazy. I hate listening to you talk about this because you're sitting here with all this foreknowledge. Like,
I have no foreknowledge. I have no foreknowledge.
I would like to be surprised
I have
that
no foreknowledge.
Jamie... Well, I know, but you've read all the books so many times.
I can validate that.
I have no, yeah.
He has no knowledge whatsoever. Yeah.
for beyond, after, whatever. I have no knowledge beyond that.
So wait, you were the one that told me that I did not, no, I think I did recognize this. I did not realize that it was told that Jaime would be killing Cersei. I did realize
one of the more popular theories. The Valancor prophecy is essentially the Valancor will wrap its hands around her throat and kill her. Valancor is High Valyrian for little brother. Jaime is technically the younger of the two twins.
Right.
Therefore, he would be the younger brother.
It'd be better if it was Tyrion, though. And also...
be more obvious, but I think I like...
And Tyrion killed his dad, so that was great, too.
But here's the thing. We now know from the preview that Jaime and Cersei are going to have a big disagreement. And this is the only thing I can that affects... this particular conversation from the books, because it hasn't happened that way in the show, is that in the books, and this is way long ago, this is like when she was like doing her walk of shame in the books.
Shame.
Jaime pretty much said, screw you, we're done. So he hates her in the books. So that's the only thing that informs the fact that I think by episode 2 or 3 of this season, Jaime's going to fall on hate Cersei.
I don't know how he couldn't hate Cersei now.
Right?
When it ended, when... she ordered him killed at the end of last year, and he just walked out and heads north himself.
She hates him partially, too, because he, in her eyes, he let their daughter die.
Yeah. I think she blames him for Joffrey's death to a point as well, because he wasn't able to stop that.
That was a tough one.
She blames him for losing his hand and therefore not being able to be the advocate he always was for her, as because he was, you know, incredibly good fighter. I think she blames him for a lot of stuff because she's selfish. And again, the big thing you have to remember about Cersei and Jaime's relationship is that Jaime, despite being just as good looking as her, has never once slept with another person. Cersei's done it multiple times. Jaime's never once broken that. Kinda
Cersei
tells
is
you,
incredibly ugly.
Lena Headley's beautiful. I don't know what you're saying there.
She's got John's hair.
Lena Headley's beautiful. But...
she is not. She is disgusting.
That's not true at all.
Jaime is definitely hotter than
Nicholas Castro-Waldau is very good looking.
We need a tiebreaker here, John.
But they're both good looking. That's why they were casted to play beautiful
Cersei
people.
Is hot as hell.
Yeah, dude, Lena
you
Headley.
Are out of your mind.
She's
disgusting. Not interested.
Listen. Bronn did not.
Unbelievable.
The guy who plays.
She's broken in.
The guy who plays Bronn did not break up with her because she was ugly. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, she might be pretty in real life. They cut her hair, and she's gross.
Well, yeah, of course, now she's got the short hair that, of course, you hate for some odd reason that doesn't surprise me at all.
Why didn't you
that
just
one.
Cast Rachel Maddow?
John brought up something off the air a couple days. He called me and asked me about a theory that has Bran as the Night King, which is everyone's talking about, and if it happens,
that's supposed to be private, John.
I'll be furious.
Yeah. He just said we had a private conversation, and I'm going to let out all the details.
I said off air. I didn't say private.
John was talking to me holding his privates.
Whoa.
There's something about private in there. I don't know.
This just jumped in levels.
Now, I want you to follow up on that. But the other thing is, I was like all excited about what's going to happen. You see the White Walkers going over the wall after the dragon burns. Now I got one guy telling me, no, that didn't happen. What do you mean it didn't happen? I watched it with my own eyes. He said, no, that was Bran having a vision. It hadn't happened.
Woo!
And it's his belief that they will now head directly to the wall with the dragons to defend it from burning down. See, this is where the Game of Thrones people drive me out of my mind.
Because
they come up with all these theories that I find to be stupid, but possible.
But they're all plausible because of the setup. Like, you created so many variables and components that any theory can be true.
I'll give that theory a little credence.
Which, by the way, means that you have some brilliant writers.
Yeah.
Not good. Brilliant writers.
And here's why that has some credence, which is at the end of the last season, Tormund and those guys are just on the wall doing nothing when it comes and gets burned down. So I think a lot of people just assumed that early on in season 8, we'd be having to deal with the fact that those guys died in the wall crashing. But as soon as we saw them in the trailers, everyone was like, wait a second, how are they surviving the wall getting crumbled? So that, I'm guessing, is probably the entire basis of that theory that the wall hasn't come down yet is because Tormin and those guys, who again were doing nothing up on the wall for some reason, throw maybe a dragon, maybe throw a dragon glass spear when the white comes flying.
Rock, do we know if you can change? Do we know if you can change his visions yet? Meaning, if he sees one, is it already permanent, like it's happened, or can you actually go stop something?
His prediction, or he's about 99% from the free throw line.
It comes to pass, but again, as I explained to John, this kind of goes into the theory about, you know, what is Brand doing, and has he been, you know, changing history for forever, and is it kind of a, you know, time is a flat circle, which is, we clearly saw with the Hodor thing, that Brand can affect the past through his visions, and in the chronological form of time, Bran is born after Hodor, and yet Bran affects Hodor's life before Bran is technically born. We saw that happen. That is a confirmed thing we saw happen. That opens up the door for every kind of time-traveling Pandora's box you want to even think about. And that's why it was kind of a cool emotional thing, because you're like, because we always knew Hodor wasn't always the way he was.
Hold the door.
But and now we get an explanation for it. But again, I think it opens up some terrifying Deus Ex Machina kind of fixing, where Bran is just controlling everything and everyone else hasn't really been doing anything but, you know, playing for the big, you know, playing puppets, which ruins all the stories of people making real decisions that affect a lot of people and people dying for real reasons.
That's why I told you if that were to happen, yeah, it would be the most disappointing finale to a series I've ever seen in my life. And to just now call it a big puppet show would be embarrassing. I can't believe that they would symbolize this entire thing down to that.
Yeah. And so all I can say is, honestly, if anything happens but that, I probably won't be disappointed with the season.
Right.
If at this point, with that being such a possibility, if you think about the potentials, anything else that happens, I'll be okay with, as long as it's not that.
Now, the question here, before we wrap up, we got just a moment, is how much will you be on suicide watch if at the end of it all, Bran is sitting on the Iron Throne? I will lose my mind.
Well, depending upon how and why, if it's under the auspices of Rock's, not Rock's theory, the theory that he said is out there with many, I would be extraordinarily disappointed. And if you think about it logically, considering that he can see into the future, that he knows all, it's not illogical,
but it would suck. He sucks.
And here's the thing. I do not think he'll be the end, because the reason why it sucks is because they took him out of the show for an entire season and people lost any connection to him as a character.
And he grew 3 feet. You can't cast kids and then not put them in for 4 years
exactly,
and expect us
and
to
he
come
has
back.
Three eyes.
So having the winner of the show and kind of the last, you know, meaningful thing be him winning would be kind of crazy.
I will say this much. If there's one thing that I am 99.99999% sure, it's that Cersei will at least make it to the second to last episode. Because as soon as you take Cersei out of it, you lose a lot of intrigue. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You lose a lot of intrigue. You can't take her. Yeah, can't take her. And I just can't wait to find out when Jon finds out he just stooped his aunt, how that all works out.
They all stoop each other. What's the problem? What's the
problem? That's true, too.
He'll probably try to marry her after that.
Well, no. My point is, if he's now the rightful, the next one in line for the throne, and all of a sudden Daenerys, who he's kneeled to and is thought to be this, no, you're number two, Daenerys.
Now,
how does she take that?
Now,
and does it lead to a conflict between the two of them that turns into an epic showdown with Daenerys and Jon and his two sisters? Oh, boy.
I think here's what's going to happen. They're going to make up banging one out on the dragon. So,
all right. So last but not least, because I know we got to wrap it up, but last but not least, is there any chance that Tyrion gets a little sum of Daenerys before the show's over?
There's a small chance, only if she's trying to make Jon jealous.
No.
Rock?
No chance. Sorry.
Who doesn't want a
Peter.
Because I wonder now whether or not Tyrion, who has turned out to be a shockingly logical and good guy for the most part.
He's the best character in the show.
I wonder now if Tyrion sets up Jon Snow because of pure jealousy.
Possible? That would be illogical.
It's possible, but I hope it doesn't happen either.
The one thing I do know is that everybody's telling me that they think the lady with the youngest sister, you know, who does all the fighting.
Brienne?
Brienne. because she's running around with the bow and all these previews and everybody. She's going to be the first today? No way.
A strong theory is that's actually the reason Jaime kills Cersei is because Cersei obviously doesn't help them up north. Brienne dies in the fighting, and that calls and Jaime snaps and blames Cersei for her death.
Okay,
no, there.
I'm not talking about Brienne.
Arya,
Arya.
Sorry,
Arya. But that's an interesting theory too. But Arya, everybody, I read all these things. Arya is going to be the first main character to die. Not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
She's got too many people to kill still.
Her sister, I think, is a sleeper to die early.
Sansa, yeah.
Sansa.
Sansa either dies super early or Sansa's there at the end.
Who, by the way...
Married to the winner.
I saw some video of her the other day with her famous husband. Sansa's freaking hot.
Yeah, well, she's a redhead, so she cannot succeed in this
world. She is incredibly
hot,
On that note,
one of the blondes...
I'm serious. She's the best-looking woman on that show in real life.
Daenerys has something to say about that.
No. Daenerys looks much better on the show than in real life.
I agree with that. But Daenerys still, I think, I forgot. I don't know if you heard me at the beginning. She's a redhead. So anyway.
No, I try not to.
Oh, yeah. All right. We got to go. We will be back shortly. It's Hardline.